I want to know. And I shall admit. I'll admit this guy. Look at him all haunted mansioned up. What's up, homie?
What's happening? How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, good, good.
Good, good. I'm just going through some settings here. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and do this right off the bat. Boom. Okay, that's good there. I'm just waiting for our esteemed guest to come on. And we're going to get this show started, man. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. So, how was the day today?
It was good, man. You know, I've kind of come to the part in my life where I'm really having to start to accept my age. You know, like I've gotten to that point where I'm like, you know what, I'm not a young kid anymore. And I'll tell you what the realization of that was. You know, I took off. I'm on vacation this week, obviously. There was supposed to be the Disney Dad's week trip, and I didn't want to give my vacation time back, so I said, let me do some stuff around the house. So while we were off, Laura and I did some sprucing up around here, and, you know, we kind of redid one of our rooms, and we're redoing our laundry room. I know I'm old, but that I'm excited that I got a new washer and dryer.
No, dude, that is, you know what? I think the older we get, the more we are practical. So Is that what you're going with? I think so, dude, because here's the thing. We appreciate little things in life. You know what I mean? It's really what it boils down to. And it really, listen to me. If you got a new washer and dryer, let's be honest. Is mama going to be happier?
Well, we do a combined load. We combine the, you know, the laundry duties, sort of the kids, so I can't complain on that.
No, I'm not saying that she does it, but is mom going to be happy because it's going to be more aesthetically pleasing to her house?
No, you know what it is? It's going to be so many other new things, that new buttons and settings, and she's going to be all, you know, like you can check your laundry load status on your phone.
Yep.
It's one of those Wi-Fi, and she's going to want no part of that.
Okay, but you will.
Oh, absolutely. This is, like I said, these things you'll be excited about.
You'll be sharing your password in our private little chat going, dude, log in, because then you can see when our laundry's done. It's cool. And I will, too. I'll download the app just to see it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's just kind of showing my age, I guess.
No, absolutely. I disagree with you.
I'm excited about other stuff.
Okay. No, I disagree with you, man. I think it's practicality, because we know the value of a washer and dryer.
Okay.
How's that?
We'll go with that.
But I am going to agree with you, though, on the whole age thing, man. It's like, when did you really notice that? Like, mine was when I was like 38 to 40. I was like, wow, that kind of hurt a little more than it used to.
My 40th birthday hit me pretty hard.
Was it? That was a hard one for you, huh?
Yeah, that was a hard one. That was tough. That was definitely tough.
You know, 30, I think, was worse for me. I think 40, I have an old boss that he used to tell me. He was very, very successful. And he said, man, life didn't even start until I turned 40. So, okay, you know what? Okay. That kind of made sense. Sure did. So, anyways, I'm thinking that our guest should be joining us right here. And, oh, man, what a day.
How was your day?
First day back to work after having days.
Yeah, you had a little mini vacation, right?
Yeah, it was a staycation, absolutely. Yeah. But it was work. You know, and the thing is, man, we still didn't get what I wanted done, all done, because there's not enough time. Because you still got to fit in some fun stuff. You know, we did a day at the, you know, the whatchamacallit, the little festival. And yeah, if you live in Wisconsin or in this area, man, Bay Beach over there in Green Bay, it's such a clean, cheap, fun day for the kids. It really is.
That's cool.
Really. It's just one of those where it's like 40 cents for them to ride a ride. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. If that even.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw the pictures you were posting them on Facebook. I think Rachel was posting some of them on Facebook.
Yeah, we sure did. Cool. Yeah. Yep. And I'm having him join Zoom right now, and we will be good to go. Oh, and did you get your living room done, man? Oh, look.
Yeah, it's all done. Oh, and a side note, my Wi-Fi is definitely, the Bluetooth is out.
Oh, is it? There he is. Look at this guy.
Hey, there he is.
His audio's connecting right now. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Are you? Wonderful. You ready to rock this?
Yeah, let's have some fun with it.
All right, awesome. Well, we're just going to jump right into it then, all right?
All right.
Round one was over. Parents won. Kids, sip.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep! Gentlemen, start your engine!
To infinity and beyond!
There's a touch of madness around here.
Hello and welcome to the Disney Dads Podcast. My name is Jason, and those two guys, one of them is a surprise, are looking right at me, is Mike and our esteemed guest tonight. And our esteemed guest tonight is none other than my VIP tour guide at Walt Disney World, Dave G. Now, let me just put a disclaimer out there. Dave is not here representing Disney in any fashion at all. However, Dave is going to be joining us because he has a creative passion that goes, well, I would say hand in hand. You kind of handshake with Disney, yeah?
Very much so.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, we're going to really get into that. You know, it's Disney, but not Disney. And I'm real excited to find out, you know, what really just got Dave into this amazing thing that he does. And chances are you've probably run across him. And if you haven't, you probably will sometime or another while you're down at Disney. But before I get into my good buddy Dave, I want to reach over and talk to the Italian stallion himself, Mike. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. I'm good. You know, when you told me last week that Dave was coming on, I was so excited. Obviously, Justin's still on vacation. I'm here redoing my living room, and he's off enjoying the mountains with his family.
Wow, so, did you see the pictures?
Oh, some amazing shots. Oh, yeah, I'm completely jealous. I can't wait to make it over there. I'm going to have to invite myself on one of those trips. I think, you know what? No Disney Dad trip next year. We're just going to go to Justin's cabin for a week.
He dropped that on me today, and I thought, you know, that's going to be absolutely, Dave. Absolutely.
I'm coming. That's awesome.
Absolutely. It's if you haven't seen pictures, we'll share them with you.
I love it.
It's up. It's just up in the mountains. It's just beautiful. And it's a cool four-bedroom. Anyways, it's in Justin fashion, I promise you. There is no roughing it up there. It is absolutely incredible, man. But Mike, you know, I came to you, I says, hey, you know what? I want to get with our good friend Aussie Dave, and because he's got some stuff going on that he really you worked for this. You really wanted to do this. And I'm just going to let you just tell everybody, what do you do? And let's just start from the beginning.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks. So I have, yes, a passion that I sort of wove back into Disney World as well. As you mentioned, yes, I am a cast member. When I first finished working at Disney Cruise Line and I settled in Orlando, I was looking for something to do, and I'd done entertainment stuff on board. I was a host and used to run events and activities on the cruise ship. I actually even left Disney Cruise Line and became a cruise director for another cruise line for a little while. So I've got the personality and all of that, and I was trying to figure out where I was going to fit in Orlando. There's so much to do. There's so many different ways of expressing your creative potential, and was kind of figuring out what I wanted to do. And I wasn't sure whether I wanted to do entertainment in the theme parks, and I was kind of looking for how else I could potentially do that. And my wife actually pointed me in the direction of a gentleman that did some performing in Orlando and in Disney itself. And she goes, hey, there's this guy, he's a DJ and an entertainer, and he does stuff at Disney Springs. You should go and watch him. And I was like, I don't know if I want to be a DJ. I'm already in my 30s. Is that really something I wanted to do? And so I went with the intention of probably sitting there for 20 minutes and giving it some thought. I stayed for 3.5 hours.
Nice.
Right. And as one does. And at the end of it, I went up to him. His name is Elliot, DJ Elliot, that some people may even be familiar with. He's quite well known in Disney World. And I went up to him and I said, I want to do that. And he goes, cool, go do it. I went, well, okay, that wasn't what I was expecting. Right. And I said, well, I want to do entertainment stuff, and told him about my background. And he said something very wise to me. He said, well, if you're really good at something, you don't do it directly for Disney. What you do is what I did, and you form a third-party company, and you provide that service back to Disney at a contracted rate, because that's how you make money. And I went, oh, all right. Well, what if I just work for you? And he goes, no, I don't have anybody that works for me. It's just me. I do my own thing. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't like that answer. So I proceeded to annoy him for the better part of about 6 months. Okay. And I would send him emails and give him a call and just go, if ever you need somebody, you let me know. And he came across a gig where he needed a second person, and he called me. And I said, awesome, this is it. I'm going to work for you. And I had 2 days to show him what I was capable of, what I wanted to do. And I was on microphone. I was learning how to mix music. And I've worked for him ever since. The company is called Elite Beats, and we are a third-party company that provides entertainment options back to Disney and also to the greater Orlando community, and even do gigs across the country.
That's awesome. Now, the company itself, probably as a result of you, you know, partner. Well, I don't want to say the word partner, but would that be a fair assumption? I mean, kind of.
I am definitely one of the key players in his business.
And he's a good friend of yours as well, correct, Elliot?
Oh, he DJ'd my wedding. Like, yeah.
So you guys are pretty tight.
Very close.
Now, as a result of you taking that step with him and really kind of forcing him in. The company itself is, because I know what charisma and I'm speaking purely facts. I'm not even embellishing and man crushing on you here, okay? I know what charisma and I know what kind of a people person you are. This is you. This is you, okay? As a result of that, I have to say that, you know, the company's got quite a few DJs now, does it not?
We do. He actually likes to remind me of this every time we do taxes and things like that, where we have to assess how many people work for the company. We actually now have 19 people in the Orlando area that work for us. We do gigs at almost all of the major theme park and attraction options. And we have, I believe, in the vicinity of about 30 that work for us around the country. Okay. And we even do gigs internationally as well now.
That's awesome. Awesome. And do you guys have like before we even you know, go any further, because I've got a lot of questions I want to ask you here. The company itself, you mentioned he did your wedding. Do you do like even small gigs, like birthday parties?
Particularly everything. Recently with the diversification of our product and it's creating some options online and things like that. We do birthday parties and small events, gatherings, local events. And then we actually, our company provides entertainment for one of the largest events that happens in North America each year. Awesome. It's actually the third largest. It is called New York Comic Con.
Yeah, you're right. And we were just talking with yesterday. Actually, we were talking last night as we were saving the world. I says, Mike, I think he was up in your area not too long ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. We fly to New York and we bring, we like to refer to it as the show before the show. So when everybody gathers before those big panels and events and things like that, we are the people who are on stage going, hey, everybody ready, getting everybody jazzed up and excited. Right. And then we bring out the main event and get out of there and let them have their moment.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you were essentially on stage and a sea of nerds is down on the ground in front of you.
Awesome. Which is very fitting because we do definitely have a nerd-centric skew on what we offer.
That's awesome. No, you know, that is something I've always wanted to go to as a Comic-Con because it has such a – you know what I think I really like about that is the amount of like people's costumes and the amount of thought and even money that they stick into their costumes. With 3D printing, the abilities for these people to just put these costumes together is incredible.
Question for Mike. Have you ever been in New York City when that parade of the morning happens on a New York Comic Con weekend?
I have. And you know, seeing people in costumes in New York isn't always out of the ordinary. So, you know, but when the Comic-Con's in town, you definitely know that it's going on. I think one of the strangest things was Sarah and Sammy were going to be in a TV commercial, and they were taping downtown in Manhattan. And it just happened to be around the same time that Comic-Con was going on. And Laura was bringing them to... Now, my wife is a Long Island suburb girl. She has nothing... She knows nothing about the city. Here she is in the subway, not knowing what was going on. in Manhattan with the Comic-Con, and there are people in cut, and I'm like, no, that's normal. That happens all the time. And meanwhile, there's, 100 people going down there in, Chewbacca costumes and Thor and all sorts of other comical stuff. And I'm like, no, that's just New York. You see it on a regular basis.
Oh, I would have loved
about that.
There, I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah, there are thousands that turn out for awesome. That. It's amazing.
I'm definitely I get a little envious when I hear you tell stories of these cool things that you get to do. When it comes to when you get to DJ inside the parks, I mean that probably. Let me ask you this: do you remember the first time you got to DJ inside the parks? What was that like? Was it surreal for you, or was it kind of like I have my DJ mindset on and I'm there for business?
It's definitely a pinch me kind of moment. Okay. Like it's one of those things you're aware of. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things you build towards because you don't immediately get the opportunity to go there. Yep. My first ever gig, I was on stage with Elliot, in Disney Springs.
Okay.
And we would be on the waterside stage right there near the World of Disney store and doing some interactive fun and games and dancing and competitions and things like that. And then you build up, and as people see you doing some of those events, creative people in Disney World will go, oh, we can use him or we can use her, and we can do and we can put them in all different places. And we have definitely got the opportunity to do some of those. I'm just trying to think my first time inside a park. And then there's also like special event nights at Typhoon Lagoon and things like that that you might get to do as well. So, there's been some really cool events inside theme parks.
Do you notice when you get an opportunity to DJ inside the parks, let's still use Typhoon Lagoon for a special event, okay?
Yeah.
Do you notice it gets a little bit more rowdy and fun when the beverages are flowing and the spirits are involved? Does it kind of turn into that kind of a like dance party where it's like, I'm not saying crude, but like a little bit more loose where people aren't afraid to get out there and have fun?
I mean, you do something in Epcot World Showcase versus Magic Kingdom, there's going to be some differences in how it all goes down. So.
Absolutely. And Mike, did you have a question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, does Disney give you a set playlist where they say, this is what we want played? Are there any of these? I mean, obviously, I know certain things are off limits. I mean, you're not going to be playing Drake, and you're not going to be playing, the Beastie Boys. But do they tell you, like, these are specific songs we want, or is that pretty much for you to decide what you want, what the type of party you're having?
It depends on the event. Sometimes it might be something where that it might have a particular playlist or a particular theme that's going on. I remember years ago I did an event at Typhoon Lagoon for Teen Beach Party, which was a released movies. I feel like Mike might have had some experience with those.
I think my girls won a contest, a dance contest.
There you go.
We have the beach balls from that.
There you go. Excellent. Yep. And so it was myself, and it could have been, there's like three or four DJs that were doing that particular event over the course of the summer. And so we would tag in and out, and they definitely had, we want you to play this song, and at this time play this song, and in the middle here you can pick what song you want to play, but we need it to be in this theme kind of thing. And then other times you go to a gig and they're like, make sure it's fun.
Okay.
Right. So you definitely get some creative input on some of them. Others are a little bit more skewed and themed. And we're also there as part of the storytelling that Disney is so famous for. So if we want to be part of that, particularly in those moments where we do get that creative opportunity, it's one of those things to really be switched on for, because as I said, you get gigs and you get events based on your performance at certain events. And if you play a song that is questionable, that's going to be a reflection on you as a person who chose that song. And you may just not get invited back ever again.
Okay. So the Disney talent is out having drinks with their better half, and they might walk past you and they're like, there would be a scouting agent then. Yes. Or, it's like, what?
Or they might even be on the clock and be there too with the intent.
Oh, make sure everything's good to go. Okay.
Check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Listen, you talked about your first couple days, you had to prove to him in 2 days, and you got to go up on with Elliot. And to tell him hello, by the way, from us, we'll definitely appreciate us being able to talk about him. there's this, you know, you and I were kind of talking this DJ brain that you're talking about, right? This mindset that you get. Can you kind of explain, like, when you first were up there and it kind of just, you know, your math started just, like,
it's
equaling?
It's definitely not something you pick up on it, like, immediately. Okay. You do it by, it's almost like a muscle memory. It's repeating and learning and counting and all of those sorts of things. And it's, a great example that I like to use, I refer to it as DJ brain. It's just kind of something that like sticks in my head now. A great example I like to use is a song that for the last couple of years, I'm sure everybody is probably familiar with. I Can't Stop the Feeling by dances to it. It's got a good beat and everybody listens to it and hears it on the radio and goes, cool song. As a DJ, I listen to it on a radio or even while I'm out playing music and I'm listening to it and my head goes to, this song is recorded at 116 beats per minute, but if you ramp it up just a little bit, it has a little bit of extra pop if you can play it at about 120. And then I've got a really cool remix of Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, which is also at that same tempo. And if I cross the two over, I can actually go from one into the other and it's got the same. And so I hear these things. I'm already one or two songs ahead.
Okay. All right.
Before. And so sometimes it's really hard to switch off.
Now, right now, people are screaming because they did not hear the first song because I had an internet interruption. So, because that was completely my fault. Sorry. On how that happened. What was the name of that first song?
Oh, Can't Stop the Feeling by Justin Timberlake.
Can't Stop the Feeling. And then you had that migrate into the Michael Jackson song.
We'll mix across. Something. And then you're already, if I take that 120 BPM and take it up to 124 or 128, that opens up this song or that song or what will sound good or what's a similar style and are they dancing to it or do I need to do something different? And you're constantly moving and adjusting. And then you've got a song lined up. And then out of nowhere, somebody walks in dressed because they've been out at the parks today and they're wearing a Darth Vader shirt or a Star Wars shirt. And you go, oh, I've got something really cool Star Wars-y themed that I can do right now because there's somebody here who's going to appreciate it. And then I might drop that song out for a second, put in the song that I wanted, that I feel will appeal, and know that I've already got that next song lined up again.
Okay.
So
it's an art.
Oh, it's a learned skill, definitely.
Yeah, that's cool, man. And like the only really dance parties I've seen are that I ring a bell, because honestly, it's something that I pass up because I'm a boring guy, man. You won't see me out there dancing, at least not. You know, I think there's parents out there who can relate, unless there's spirits in me, and I'm maybe like four or five. I'm not going to be out on the dance floor, right? But I appreciate the music and I like to watch, right? And I don't, maybe there's a term for that too. And I don't know, but anyways, the Tomorrowland over in Tomorrowland. Now are those, what kind of a DJ session is that when you get characters and stuff? What is that? Yeah. And maybe that's not even yours, but is it part of yours as well?
That can be something that we do as well. I've actually done a few years ago, I got to do the, it was like the Monsters Incorporated, event for the Halloween party. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Okay.
And got to wear the yellow jumpsuit and the monster hat, and they give us like a CO2 gun and all sorts of fun things like that to play around with. And we get trained on all of that, obviously, for safety, to make sure that we're using it appropriately and when to use it. And we have to notify the technicians that we're about to fire it and make sure that it's not pointed in all of these sorts of things. And then that's almost like another step as well. When you're becoming a DJ, because the minute you have characters and our world famous Disney characters involved in that, we want to make sure that we're representing them correctly, that we're referring to them in the correct way. For example, two summers ago, I got to do the hashtag Super Incredible Dance Party in the Magic Kingdom, also on that Tomorrowland stage.
Nice.
And we had Mrs. Incredible present, and it was all about The Incredibles 2 had just been released a few years ago. And we wanted to make sure that when she was out there, we referred to her as Mrs. Incredible, even though her other name might be Elastigirl. And we definitely, because she has her mask on, we definitely wouldn't refer to her as Helen. Okay. So we want to make sure we're using that. And that's one of those things that you get trusted by the Disney company to say, hey, you're going to do this right. Okay. And so, yeah. We want to make sure we're representing now, that.
Have you ever gotten to a point where you got so into your DJ brain getting into it that did you almost say like Elasta, or is it like a switch where it was absolutely no problems at all? It was Mrs. Incredible.
You learn it as Mrs. Incredible. You don't You don't mess around with it, and you definitely don't want to mess that up. I mean, that's part of the suspension of belief that Disney creates, and you're invited into that. More importantly, you know, I'm a huge Disney nerd, and if she's got that mask on, she's Mrs. Incredible.
Right, absolutely. And the thing is, too, is you made a really – there's a word you used which is absolutely perfect. You were invited in to represent Disney.
Yeah.
And that's a huge, huge thing.
And that is a really interesting thing that about it is that we are invited in because in that moment I'm – a Disney cast member, as we discussed, but like so many people in Orlando, and for that matter, anywhere else in the country or the world, there's many people who have a second job.
Right.
We have people in Orlando who work for the Disney company, and then as their second job, they may even work at Universal, or they may even work at, they might work at the local pizza place for, it doesn't really matter where they work.
Sure.
Disney wants to make, and Disney's of course okay with that. It's one of those things where on the provision your schedules match up and you're not meant to be in two places at once and you're able to fulfill your obligation to the companies that you have agreed to. We've got lots of people that do that. My second job just happens to be that I'm then also at Disney. So when I'm a cast member, when I'm clocked in doing my thing, I'm a cast member. And then when I'm there as a DJ, I'm actually what we refer to as a third party operating participant. So a contracted person.
But as a third party in the parks, I've walked in the parks with you. I think you know everybody in Magic Kingdom and Epcot and Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom. I think you know everybody. And the thing is, and if you don't, you're always, here's the thing about with you, especially when you're on tour with me. Excuse me, when I'm on tour with you, let me word that right. You always extend the courtesy to all the cast members. Whether they look at you like they don't know you or not, you always give that initial, hello, how you doing? Hey, you know, you always give that initial handshake from the get-go. So right off the bat, even though maybe that person is new at Disney, they don't know your VIP, you know, what you do, you always come across as, you always offer that invite into your personal circle right off the bat, right? So you as on the stage as a DJ, I know you must get the after, you know, the cast members that are off duty that know you. I mean, you probably have your little fan club that follows you around or whatever. Has that ever really interfered with your job, or do they know that you're the third party and you're there to work?
I always try to keep them very separate, and make people aware, like, yes, I do both. And I'm not the only one that does multiple jobs like that and works for a third party company as well. And as cast members, we get very good at understanding where that line is. And I do occasionally have people that know me as a tour guide or know me as my, in my full-time role. And then they randomly stumble across a dance party and I'll give them a shout out on a microphone or something.
Oh, that's cool.
And they'll be like, wait, how does the DJ know my, oh my goodness, it's Dave.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And also vice versa. I have people that are particularly from the entertainment circle who know me as a DJ and have worked with me, performed with me, been part of a dance party in one shape or another. And then I will be walking through and I have the extreme pleasure of taking Jason and the Disney Dad podcast family around, a couple of members around on tour, and we'll be walking through a space and I'll be like, hi. And they go, wait, aren't you the DJ?
Yeah.
So we definitely have both.
I love it. So the DJ itself, I got to ask you, what's the coolest gig you've ever had the, and I'll say privilege to do?
Yeah. There's a couple of big ones that obviously stand out.
All right, let's hear them. I want to hear. Inquiring minds need to know this.
Epcot on New Year's Eve.
Oof. Ooh, I've heard stories about that place on New Year's Eve. Let me tell you.
It gets a little busy. It gets a little out of hand. I was actually put, the first time I did that, I was put over in, I was put over in the UK pavilion. And okay. I was like, you know, I'm Australian, right? We're not actually there.
So you were back by the Mary Poppins up on the stage up there?
Yeah, well, they actually built me a stage in a garden bed. And I had my own little, and then it was me and then the live band doing, they would do a set and then they would throw to me and then I would play some music while they had a rest time and I would throw to them and then I'd take a breather while they were, and so we'd all night back and forth.
Wow, did you know the band prior?
We'll usually rock into a room and say hi. I know a couple of them.
But is that like is that kind of common for them to throw? I mean, that sounds like there really has to be. Yeah,
no, we get used to it pretty. I've walked on
just
stage.
Just have fun with it.
Yeah,
huh?
And I've walked on stage not knowing the people on occasion. And then other times I've walked on and known them very well. So it's one. Yeah, it doesn't really change much for us. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Coolest thing I think I've ever done, still a huge standout. This is 4 years ago, maybe 5 years. Wow. There was an event happening in Disney's Hollywood Studios, which was the Frozen Summer of Fun. Directly following the release of Frozen, that came out in the December. By the time we hit February, March, we were headed through spring break into the summer, and there was this light bulb moment where they went, oh, this is really big, people. We should do something about this. And so there was this event put on. They actually then did it a second year. And the second year that it was put on, I got the opportunity to be one of the DJs for it. And in the evening, they would do a special fireworks show with everybody out in the main area looking at the hat, and they intentionally timed it so that it was kind of almost one of the first times that they did something there with a precursor to what we now know as the Star Wars fireworks, Galactic Spectacular. And so they would wait for Fantasmic to finish, and everybody would flood out of Fantasmic and fill that street. And I'm talking from the hat, where the hat used to be, all the way down to what we refer to as the crossroads of the world, right there, with Mickey standing on top of that point right near the entrance. And I'm talking, you couldn't see pavement. It was really nothing but a sea of heads. And you're standing on this stage and you're playing some songs and you've got some music and you're like, I'm just trying to think what was big at the time. Everybody's hands go up and you've got thousands of people that just throw their hands in the air and start cheering and just absolutely amazing. And the reason that that stands out to me is that we did that right through that second year. And then they continued doing dance parties in that area and they brought it back for the holiday season after that. And I got to do a couple during the holiday season and, and because, I was doing it through the holiday season into January and they announced that the hat was going away. Mm-hmm. And I actually DJed the last dance party at the hat.
Nice.
And definitely one of my all time. And some people, it's one of those things in Disney World. Some people love it. Some people couldn't wait for it to go. The hat, whether you love it or hate it, in my opinion, was one of the most epic backdrops as an event stage that we have ever had.
I loved the hat because I was first introduced to Disney with just the hat.
Correct.
So for them to take that away was a huge thing for me, yep. Right? So what are your personal thoughts on them removing the hat? There's no partisan here, man.
But before you give your answer, Jay and I both love the hat. I'm just letting you know that before you give your answer.
As
right?
I said,
just so you know.
As I said, one of the most epic backdrops. It holds a very special place in my heart. I was actually introduced to Hollywood Studios with the hat and had never seen it without it. So then once it was gone, it was definitely a shock to the system. But yes, I'll quote Walt in saying when they asked about whether he was finished with Disneyland, he said that Disneyland will continue to grow as long as there is imagination left in the world. And with every new chapter in Disney World, we have to remember that when the things do take their final bow, it's important to remember that there is always growth and new things coming.
So I know Dave as, you know, is on a personal side as well. And I know Dave's family. And there's a couple things that, you know, if you don't want to share, just let me know.
All right.
You like your daughter just hit a milestone, which is a big deal, right?
She did.
So what is this major milestone that she hit?
So, during quarantine, of 2020 that we've been going through, and actually just before we knew we were getting close, Charlotte, my 4-year-old, ticked over 40 inches, which in Disney terminology is a big step. She's actually now 41 and a bit. Like, it's been, yes, she's well and truly over it. And so yesterday we were given the opportunity and to do a cast member preview of Epcot.
Okay.
And so we got to have the day at Epcot. And for those of you who have already connected the dots, 40 inches in Epcot means that she was tall enough to ride Soarin' around the world and Test Track. And we managed to do both of them. We actually got to do Test Track twice because she was given the opportunity to choose which one. And I have a thrill seeker, apparently.
Really? Awesome.
And she was
Do on Soarin'?
She loved Soarin'. I took a leaf out of Jason's book, and having spoken to Jason and said, what should I do? And I actually videoed her on board, a 4.5-minute video of her riding it.
Awesome.
And my favorite part is right at the very beginning, the whale, while you're in the ice fjord of Norway, the whale jumps out and lands, and that splash of water happens. And I love hearing people when it's their first time on the ride, because they always go and squeal just a little bit. She definitely did that and jumped all the way back in her seat, because, like, and it was amazing.
That's great. That's awesome, man. And she loved Test Track.
Test Track, and we had a great family day in Disney World. It was wonderful.
So. Yeah, and your wife and your littlest. How old is your littlest one now?
Just ticked over one.
One already.
One, dude.
Holy macaroni. When did I see you? We broke bread together. When did I see you?
January.
So she was just...
she was 9 months. Eight, 9 months at the time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Wow, man. Before you know she'll be driving too. So not to...
Why do you do that to me? Come on, man.
Because, man, I'm telling you right now, as a dad, I'm telling you right now. But you know you're doing it right. That's my point. Is look, you're out there with the family, you're having fun, you're making memories. You know, that's one thing that Disney has afforded me is I really like, you know, you hit parents going, you know, there's a lot of wasted time. Disney really offers the opportunity, like you had your day yesterday, where that memory is something that'll be yours forever.
Yep.
Because the kids are going to grow before we know it. You know what I mean? They're going to just grow up. And it's pain. And I'll tell you, let me tell you this. My mom is coming to take the boys from Tuesday till Saturday or Sunday. I think we're going to go pick them up Sunday. We're going to meet for brunch. This is the first time that's ever happened. The very first time. I was walking around in my office today, and I'm like, I started missing them already. And they're not even gone. You know what I mean? And it's like, wow. And it... I guess we'll see how it goes. You know, we've got an adult trip.
No, I've definitely learned to value some of that that time that we get, because, and particularly, I think it's probably the biggest thing that I've taken out of this these last few months of craziness is that particularly in my full time job, I sometimes have weeks, the week of Christmas into New Year, it is nothing for me to work an 80-hour week. Mm-hmm. Like every single day.
I think
this year I worked every single day from December 19th through January 8th or 9th.
Okay.
Like, yeah, it was a significant chunk of time. And there were days where I was gone before they were out of bed. I was up early in the parks doing my thing. And then I stayed and took the family to dinner or whatever. And by the time I got home, everybody's in bed asleep. And then the next morning I was up and gone again. And so there were definitely 24-hour periods where I didn't see my two daughters. And I've had this incredible time during this phase of their life where I've got to put that to one side. Absolutely. And I, I've definitely, definitely value
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah, yeah, it's I definitely hear you, man. You got great kids. Your daughter was a riot. Your daughter is an absolute riot. Hey, but you know, not to steal your thunder or anything too, but you know, you got to give the moms credit too because she stuck with them for 24 hours, you know, with no
like,
break.
And I'm the
huge.
First to sing the praises of my wife. She does an amazing job and raising two little girls sometimes for prolonged periods of weeks where I'm not readily available to
So dude, your wife is awesome. She is such a conversationalist, and she's very animated with her face when she talks, so it's just awesome. You guys are great.
While we're on this point, I also have two daughters who are literally growing up in Disney World.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, you do. How lucky is that?
It's amazing. So no, yeah, they're
gonna go to the county fair and for the first time be like, what is the, are you kidding me?
I don't know. Florida puts on one very interesting fair every so often.
Oh, they got some great Florida man. Anyways, and that's where they all congregate.
Yeah,
man.
They do. They come together for
it. Absolutely. And yes, I might be poking some fun. I'm not trying to be mean about it. But hey, going back to the DJ though.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk more personal with you on our Patreon, but you will stick around for that, yes?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Because that's where we can get into the meat and potatoes of some extreme nonsense, and Mike will probably rub your ribs pretty hard. But anyways, when you're really kind of just into that, you mentioned thousands of people throwing your hands up. I mean, you got to be just amped.
Oh.
Just wired. You know, is it like you shut down at midnight? You know, the park shuts down at midnight. You're out by, I'm just throwing that out, but hypothetically, 1 o'clock, you know, at night. How long does it take for you to just kind of unwind and actually close your eyes to get some sleep or?
I mean, fortunately, I've always got a little bit of a drive. There's usually 20 to 30 minutes of drive time because it's Orlando and you can't get anywhere in less than that time of driving because of this place.
Right.
It's nothing compares to some of the New York commutes of Mike. So I've always got like some wind down time there, but even then, by the time I get home, we are, I'm still pumped up. I've got adrenaline running. You've been literally jumping up and down on a stage and getting people excited and screaming and dancing and having a grand time in Disney World, and then it's really hard to switch it off. We actually usually try not to listen to music, which is why I do have some solid podcasts that I like to listen to on the drive home, one of which of course being the Disney Dads podcast.
That's awesome.
It's always disappointing when I am completely up to date and have run out of material. And so I do have a couple of favorite episodes that I go back and listen to occasionally. But
do you?
Of course.
Well, let's talk about that on Patreon. I want to hear about your favorite episodes.
Oh, okay, cool.
And if every one of them is when I'm on vacation, we might have an issue.
No,
I don't
got to
be the favorite, but at least let me be in the dark.
Nothing
right?
that. But yes, but yeah, like we'll turn off music and try to listen to something fun. Then yeah, Disney Dad's podcast definitely.
Listen, I want to, Mike, before you take over and lead us into Picks of the Week and we shut the show down, Dave, is there anything that I really missed on the DJ aspect of it that I didn't ask you? Because I don't want this to be a missed opportunity and be like, oh, we forgot to talk about, because I really want to make sure we get it all out.
No, I mean, it's as we said at the top, that it's just something that has that came from a passion of mine, from an entertainment, and became a creative outlet for me to be able to do something fun and interactive and put my personality out there without it necessarily being my full-time job. I remember when I was first getting into it, my wife and I had a joking conversation where I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to be a 45-year-old professional DJ full-time. That doesn't sound super reliable from a dad point of view. But it's a great little skill set that I've adapted to be able to include in my life and to be allowed me to really do some incredible things and have some amazing opportunities and things that I'll get to look back on and be like, yeah, I did that. I was there.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question I got for you. Are there any YouTube videos out there of you on the DJ?
I have every faith that there is somewhere okay. around.
But none personally, like DJ Aussie Dave's YouTube channel or nothing.
No, I think I've made like some highlight reels of a couple of different like event things and that some of the YouTubers have been involved in. I will say, oh, here's a fun one. When you are sitting in your Disney resort room and you're figuring out what you're going to do, or you're back there and you're changing before headed to a meal, and you turn on the TV in the Disney resort room and it's that channel of things to do in Disney World. And there's one where it talks about Disney Springs and they're talking about the dining options and the fun different places to visit, and you can go here and the MBA experience and all of these sorts of things. And at one point it references dance parties and music entertainment, and there's a shot of a bunch of kids dancing. I think it's my right shoulder features heavily in that particular video.
You are beyond Disney fans. Right. I had no idea. I didn't get an autograph or nothing, dude. What?
Yeah, we did a filming late night. It was like 3 a.m. Because they needed Disney Springs to be empty. And we put on a dance party with a bunch of families all came in, and they were like, do your thing. And so we got to hula hoop and we were playing games and all of this. And there were film crews around us and they were like, do that again and do this bit. And they were like, I think the one shot is right over my shoulder and like everybody's dancing and doing this.
It's awesome, man. It's great. When Disney says, ask for volunteers, that was the first thing that came out of my wife's mouth when she was introducing me to the parks. If somebody from Disney asks you something, you raise your hand and say yes.
Always.
No matter what.
Always.
And you never know what kind of magic you're going to get.
You never know the magic, and you never know, like, and you at the top, you were talking that you said, oh, I'm the guy that stands up the back and I don't always get involved. And that's actually, for us as the entertainers, sometimes where the most magic can happen, where that person who doesn't usually get involved, we don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. But if we can bring you out just a little bit and maybe get you involved, that you get a takeaway as well, and I've had people that have been involved in Disney Springs, let's say, and then they've gone away and done some shopping or this and that and all of that. And then in the evening, like later in the night, they'll see me like heading out and I'm dragging like a DJ equipment and a backpack and all of this. And they're like, hey, you're the DJ. And I'll be like, yeah, hi. And they're like, we had so much fun. The kid will be like, my dad never does that, or my mom like got involved, and even my grandma was dancing. And you'll be like, it's one of those moments where as a cast member, but also then as a performer as well, where you've made that connection, and you know that we talk about those memories. We talk about me getting to ride Soarin' with my daughter and those experiences. Right. There are things like that that are those moments in a family vacation for thousands of our guests every day, every month, every year. And if we get to be part of that, that's a huge, that's
awesome.
That's why we're here.
Doesn't that scream Disney? I mean, doesn't that scream love? Doesn't that scream entertainment?
Yeah,
right?
That's why we show up.
And you have passion about that. And that's why I wanted to bring you on, because you're passionate about creating that feeling for the families.
Definitely.
You know, and that's why I admire you so much. And, you know, I've always, like, you know, our first one was cool. You know, we stayed connected a little bit and then we got together for that second one. But I saw it again. And you know what I mean? You're still very passionate about what you do. For anybody that never has had an opportunity to meet Dave, you know, hopefully you can see him walking in the parks. Hopefully maybe you can schedule a tour with him. Hopefully you can get a DJ gig with him. If anything, I hope, well, I don't want to say shake your hand or give you a hug. Not right now.
Not right
but
now.
But when everything calms down, you know, and everything is kicked to the side, definitely, definitely shake that man's hand. Mike, before I hand this show over to you, to take us to Picks of the Week, did you have any last minute stuff for our friend right here?
Well, Dave, I know you're going to be busy doing the VIP stuff now that the parks are starting to open. I know we have a lot of Disney family that's starting to go back to the parks. Do you have any upcoming DJ shows that they could be that maybe they'll get to peek at? Do you have anything on the horizon, or are you still waiting because everything's still trying to play out?
We have slowly started to be invited back to Disney, and it's definitely a phased opportunity, like everything else that Disney is doing, and they're slowly bringing us in. In the next couple of days, I'll actually be back in Disney Springs.
Excellent.
Which I'm very excited for. We're not doing as much interactive element. We're not doing like calling people up and all of that, but we're just kind of there to be bringing some of that music magic back to Disney Springs to say, hey, we're still here doing our thing. We've always been here doing our thing, and we're glad that you're joining us again.
And don't stop in front of Dave this time.
Yeah, not yet. To your point a moment ago, I've actually had the opportunity through the Disney Dads podcast family to meet a number of them. We all went out for some fun and beverages during your
that
first
was a year ago Netflix. This month
it was
this,
yep.
this week I think it was
yep. So when yes it was, because I left my wife at home with a very small child just to make sure that I got to be there with the Disney Dads podcast family. But if ever you see me, whether I'm on a stage or in plaid, walking around the theme parks, any member of the Disney Dads podcast is always welcome to wave, say hi. And all you need to say is, I am this person from the Disney Dads podcast, because I will definitely wave and say hi, because it's such an amazing group that the three of you have created.
So the question is, Dave, when you're walking with LeBron and he's behind you and somebody waves and says, Dave, it's Jason from the Disney Dad, and LeBron starts, and are you going to look up at LeBron, put your finger right in his mouth like you have right now and go, shh, these people are more important than you?
I'll be like, I'm really sorry. I need to. No, I would never. But I would wave high and say, because it's such an amazing group of people. I will say I am always, I don't think I've ever told you this, I am always, always, always on the lookout for a Disney Dads podcast t-shirt.
That's awesome.
It is. I'm yet to find one in a park. But so many of your members post, oh, I wore my podcast shirt. I'm like, dang it, I missed it again.
you're gonna see your first one and just run at them and tackle them. Yes!
Are you kidding? I'm going to put my guests on a ride and make sure that they're well taken care of, and then go and find you and say hi. And then I will take a photo with you.
Sure. That's awesome. I love it, man. I absolutely love it.
No, so Dave, like I said, you're going to be back in the parks again. And if our Disney Dads family happens to see it, make sure you get a picture of Dave so we can kind of spot where he is in the parks. And if you get those pictures, post them on our Facebook group. You know why? Because that brings me to my favorite thing every week, and that would be Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week. Picks of the Week. It's time for us to get our Picks of the Week.
Dave, since you're our guest this week, why don't you tell me what your Pick of the Week is?
Oh, how do you choose from such an amazing bunch of people that have been posting? And I will say this was really hard to pick, because I wanted to pick a photo like that I wasn't there for, because there's been a number of memories coming from a year ago right now, and that amazing cruise that you all got to take. But I think I'm going to go with somebody who keeps at Disney so often on our page and posted an amazing picture, Derek's picture with the sunflower Mickey that he grabbed a snap of his boy there and posted, which looked amazing.
It's very cool. Very cool. Derek's a good guy, let me tell you.
Jay, what do you got for me, buddy?
I am going to pick Michaela Colin Altenhoffen's little collage she did for the Walt Disney hometown, the Marceline. And, you know, I got to tell you something about my Michaela. Even back when we first started the show, she reached out and she says, hey, if you ever get a chance to get down to Marceline, you got to get down here and see the Walt Disney Hometown Museum. You got to do that. And here she and you know what? I'll be honest with you. You know, as a result of that, that kind of pushed me into the direction to find our good friend Dan that has the Walt Disney Inc., right? Thank Walt Disney Inc. that we, you know, we had him on. Did we have him on a guest on a regular show?
Yeah.
I think, or was it the Patreon? Anyways, so he is one of the founders of that, so which brought me down to that area, which, by the way, I still owe that man a steak dinner. So we're going to go down, and he's going to tour, and he's going to show us all these incredible places. So, Michaela, I guess if you and the family are out and about, you probably should join us then, since you live in the area. I know it's pretty close to you, but thank you for posting those incredible pictures.
Very cool.
I want to get down there so bad.
Oh, you ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. My pick of the week is going to go to a very near and dear friend of the show. And it's not just one picture. It's his whole journey that he took. We were so happy to see Charles Marys back in the parks. And he's pretty good at taking photos. You know, he's kind of does it for a living. So he really had some amazing shots of the carousel, the castle. And he really took us along on a journey. It was so nice to see him back in the parks. And and I know how much he enjoys it. I know how much the Disney family means to him. And I'm so glad he got to share that journey with us. And Charles, you have my pick of the week.
I actually have one other honorable mention that I wanted to make, yes, if possible. And I forgot that it had also happened in the last couple of days. Jeff Positano posted an amazing picture. He got the opportunity to grab a pic with Josh D'Amaro, the former president of Walt Disney World, and also Jeff Vail, the incoming president of, yes, Walt Disney World, that have transitioned during this, right, period of time. Just manages to stumble across literally the two heads of,
I know,
Walt Disney World. Past and present, an amazing photo opportunity, and who thinks to go, I'm gonna get a photo with Josh and Jeff.
That was opportunity knocking right there, wasn't that great?
Great.
Yeah, I want to give my honorable mention. I was gonna pick Scott Zobel's perfect picture of his front porch, but that mat was missing something, so I really didn't feel like it was credit worthy of me giving it like the first thing. So Scott, you need to work on maybe adding something to that before you post a picture.
I have an honorable mention this week, and it goes to our dear friend, Delinda Borth, because it was her birthday this week. And Delinda keeps at Disney with us every single day with trivia and all sorts of Disney stuff. And I always get nice, lovely goodies from Delinda in the mail. So, Delinda, happy birthday to you. I hope you had a great day.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's off work this week. Lucky you.
Ready to wrap it up, Jay?
Lucky you. Yeah, listen, hey, Dave, thank you for coming on, my friend.
It has been my pleasure and an honor. And I think since we first met, you and I have talked about me making an appearance and just having a chat to talk things through. And I think it was a great subject to have me here for. And I'm honored to be part of the podcast.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm not even going to follow up anything like that. Mike, go ahead.
Dave, thank you so much for coming. It's always a blast having you. Like I said, when Jay dropped it on me last week that you were going to be on the show, I've been looking forward to it the whole week. You're always fun to talk to. It was a blast hanging out with you over at the Poly that just about a year ago. And we'll talk a little bit about that night on the Patreon side, because we'll save that for then. And great having you, man. And I'm so glad to see you.
Thanks.
With that, Patreon members, stand by, because we are going to rub the Aussie's ribs. Let me tell you what. Has he ever eaten a kangaroo? We'll find out in a few minutes. Everybody else, please have a safe weekend. Be safe. Justin, buddy, we're looking forward to having you back next week. We can't wait to hear about all of your rough camping that you're doing in your cabin.
Is Justin coming back? I thought I was... No.
Oh, you're his replacement?
Yeah.
Oh!
Oh!
No, the $50 check just covered tonight.
Oh, dang it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We'll talk about it on the Patreon. Justin does this to the Patreon anyway. So.
At least you spelled my name right when you gave me the check to come on. So that was nice. No, it just, all things, all joking aside, guys, everybody have a safe week and have a safe weekend. And please, please, please make somebody smile. Good night.
Have a good night.
From Mike, Justin, and myself, we want to say thank you. And remember, always keep it Disney.
And they all live happily ever after. Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us. And when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic within.
Ready to begin, let the wonder...
And that's a wrap.
This has been YDF Media Productions.